Hi, this is Benny from Anime Genesis.
And this is Dancing Queen from How Girl Figures.
Come join us at Anime LA 2009, January 2nd through the 4th.
We'll be doing a live show on Saturday, January 3rd at 4 p.m. in LP2 at the LAX Marriott.
See you there. For more information, check out AnimeLosAngeles.org, Anime-Gen.com, and HowGirlFigures.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
さあ、始めるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
ふんが。まともに始めなさいよ。
Live from Anime Diet Radio Remote Studios in Washington, D.C., I'm Michael Huang, and this is Anime Diet Radio, episode number 29. The biological clock is ticking, and we hope that one day we won't turn 30 and not have other podcasts spawn that can claim us as their father.
And this is Remy Hugh, and I feel prudent.
This is Jeremy. I'm coming from you through a couple of wires that I was able to attach to the telephone lines out here in the middle of Lyttonville, Tennessee. Yeehaw.
I think I see your horses.
I have to give really big props to my cousin who goes by the screen name Killander on the internet for connecting me through his very, very, very high-class ISDN network here. So, so big props to him. Otherwise, I would not be here.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, because there was a really real danger that this podcast episode would not have been recorded before the end of this year. And as, of course, this is the end of 2008, and it is also a little bit after our second anniversary here at Anime Diet. And so a big hand again to all of our readers, our listeners, all of my staff over here who have been with me since the very beginning and later on. And folks, you're all really awesome. You're all...
What about those aliens, these gnomes, and you know, these elves and these goddesses and all these people and all these beings that helped us from everywhere? You forgot to thank them all.
Yes, the true demi-deities of anime have been always with us, providing us with fresh material, both good and unintentionally hilarious, for us to poke fun at. And so, of course, to the Japanese anime industry, we ultimately owe our ultimate thanks. But we are actually here, of course, to poke fun at everything, because we have a couple of very amusing news items for you today, as well as a sort of a roundup of the end of the year, what we think, where we're headed, and just kind of just talking and shooting the breeze about where the Anime Diet is heading next for the year 2009. The third year of dieting.
Oh, wow. And don't tell me, you guys hide your BL picture somewhere in your closets, right? And you're looking at them right now?
That would explain the slapping noise that was coming from the direction of Mikey.
Don't you mean fapping voice?
I thought that was clapping at first, but then the rhythm was kind of off, so...
Well... Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't, but in either case, I think I can actually lend some of those pictures out to minors now. So, without further ado.
Wow, was that a confirmation there? That was pretty, wow.
Can we say explicit tag?
it could be not. You'll just have to find out on our first news item, which is completely related.
Well, so Mike and Ray asked me if I wanted to take a proverbial whack at this next news article. And so, you know, gladly, being the sport that I am, I volunteered. And You know, as it is Christmas time, I have to wonder if some of you naughty or nice little boys got some interesting Christmas presents this year. Did you get anything good from Santa? Did he leave anything nice in your stocking? Did he leave some BL manga? Apparently, this is the case in the Sakai City Libraries in Osaka, Japan. There is a major controversy over the library's decision to place out in the open for all the good little boys and girls to have access to stories of old men with young men, boys with boys, boys with animals, boys with old men with animals. Well,
I'm not sure about the animal part.
Not sure about the animal part, but nonetheless.
And don't forget bold guys with hair, with guys with hair. Remember Ono Kaneko from Genshiken.
Yes.
Yeah, so you know, it just makes sense that, you know, these are the kind of stories you'd want children to read, so you'd want to put them on the lower shelf. And apparently they have a policy to offer stepladders to small children so they can reach the ones on the higher shelves. After a citizens groups complained about the government's involvement in this issue, it's kind of taken a switch to the other team and moved back to putting the books back on the shelf. Originally, they had removed the books to a special section behind a red curtain for adults only.
Yep.
And recently, they've decided, hey, BL is free speech and should be put in the children's picture book section. Oh. So, yeah. So let's talk about it.
Yes.
How do we feel about this?
Is Sakai City the gay capital of Japan?
I don't know.
They have, according to the article, 45,499 volumes of boys' love material.
That's a lot of boy love right there.
Including about 100 volumes of nude depictions of explicit sex. Due to frequent thefts, the libraries had placed these books in special archives and had loaned them out only upon request.
Holy shit, you mean they do? I mean, they ass all the time?
Apparently. And apparently people like to steal them.
Oh my god, dude. Are these women?
My guess, it probably is women.
Yeah. Nothing says good literature like booty loving.
Yep. And so basically we actually have a case of two dueling citizen complaints. One citizen complained that, yeah, this stuff isn't suitable for kids, and they actually compared it to sexual harassment.
Big issue.
But then a separate citizens group, a different citizens group,
owned by women, by the way,
I wouldn't be surprised, issued a complaint about this change. And I love this little quote that they have here. The group asserted that if a library singles out any group of books for removal or discarding, it is no longer a library in spirit.
Yeah, it's porn shop. I mean, no, wait. Oh. And next, they're opening up a special section where they'll be loaning out sex toys.
Special.
In books! Depicted in books! Remember, this is the library, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, we're going to have to charge you a disinfecting fee.
They'll have to laminate every page on that.
Though they have to clean the white stuff off every page.
Yeah. Yikes.
And it's really funny because it's like after that group complained, the government completely backed down. And it's like they called their initial decision hasty, and it was an error. Like they didn't.
Yeah.
Like they really felt it was the wrong thing to do. And I don't know if you guys watched a couple of seasons ago, there was actually a show called Library Wars, Toshokan Senso. Did you guys, any of you guys watch that?
I was thinking you were gonna say Junjo Romantica.
Well, that would be what's in the library. But we're talking about the library itself and its struggle to maintain freedom of speech. And how, especially this whole idea of being a library in spirit. Do libraries have spirits?
Was that only haunted once.
Maybe this one has the Fujoshi spirit. I don't know.
what's the ghost that haunted toilet? Maybe it has that one.
I remember there was one in Harry Potter for that one, right? The ghost that haunts the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but there's a specific Japanese ghost that haunts the toilet. If I was on ISDN right now, I'd look it up.
Yeah.
It's Toilet Hanako.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Huh. And what does she do?
Well, she basically... Do you really want me to explain that?
For our children in the audience. It's for the kids, right?
You want me to explain that? Okay, I'm going to explain to you.
We want to have equal access, Ray. We want to be the spirit in the spirit of anime diet.
That's right.
Okay, if you want to say something about it, the toy Hanako actually gets you the paper.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's actually handy.
That's useful.
Hey, honey, we're out of toilet paper. Oh, wait, never mind. The toilet spirit brought me some. Sounds good.
The tippy spirit brought you some. Tippy, a bunghole.
Oh, my. Well, in either case, this library is really interesting because I know, at least here in America, the sections for manga are definitely getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And some in some libraries, they do put that in the children's section, probably mistakenly. And in some other places, they have their own section, probably usually next to the sci-fi and fantasy section. And so it's really kind of... but of course, here, this is Japan, which has always had manga. And I find it rather astounding that they already had almost 5,500 volumes of this stuff. I wonder what other kind of anime they have. Or any, not anime, but other kind of manga.
Why didn't anybody complain about like people getting, you know, what you might call it?
Hentai.
GL manga. Yeah, exactly.
Or Yuri. Yeah. Or
Yuri.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be complaining, by the way, but I'm saying, you know, there are people half my age. So.
Exactly.
I think really the second group that's complaining about the policy change, because from what I understand, they moved the materials to a separate section. They were still able to be checked out. They basically had moved them out to the regular shelves because they were taken out so frequently.
Right.
You know, they were removed in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out of the library.
In and out.
Yeah. And we're not talking about the burger.
So basically, you know, they put them on shelves that anyone could access. Yes. They gave equal access to everyone.
Oh, from behind?
So basically, though, they moved them out of basically convenience. Mm-hmm. So they moved them out of that section out of convenience. Then they got called on it, and so they had to move them, you know, to the back section.
Right.
So basically, they started out with a policy. They had changed it for convenience, then people got mad when they moved it back to that policy. And which, rightfully so, because, come on, seriously, do we really want little kids grabbing, like, you know, porn manga? Yuri, yaoi, or otherwise? I mean, really, seriously,
well,
you know.
Well, boys should get yuri and girls should get yaoi. I mean, that's
okay. Well, they were getting it already. That was the part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just, I mean, when you, you know, send a kid to, if you send a kid to the liquor store, right, you would expect him to be able to access a copy of Jugs, okay? You know. But if you send him to a library, are you really going to, you know, really expect that they're going to be able to access, I don't know, maybe things are different in Japan, but just, you know, pornographic materials. I mean, come on. Because, you know, from what we understand, this is sexually explicit material. It's not love stories, you know, like with just, you know, romantic. I mean, it's actually porn. I don't know.
First of all, I mean, we should make clear, like, whatever the library's policy is, it really shouldn't be equated with actual government censorship. Actual government censorship is when the government says, you cannot publish this, and we will confiscate all the copies.
Right.
And if you are caught in possession of them, you are committing a crime. That's censorship. That's... When you're setting up age barriers, I don't think of that as the same thing at all. So the library actually has every right to do that, in my opinion.
Well, and it's the same thing. I mean, don't they have, like, here, you know, by law, you cannot purchase pornographic materials under the age of 18.
Yeah.
A minor, right?
Yeah.
Usually. So why would it be any different for a library?
Right. I mean,
don't you know they get them all the time these days?
I mean, it's true. I mean, like, there's been generations of people who passed around used copies of Playboy magazine, and I do mean used.
used copies.
But see, that's part of the thing. It's part of the challenge of being a youth. You can't make it too easy, or because you're just gonna, you know, rub it right off. Seriously.
It's really interesting how, yeah, I mean, this is part of the contradiction of anime or manga in this case being so prominent in Japan in a way, because apparently if they can have such a large collection, you know, my guess is that, you know, a huge percentage of their overall collection must be manga. I mean, if 5,500, it just constitutes just the BL section.
Yeah. Really? Seriously? That's just what I can't figure out.
Yeah.
Is there seriously that many people that like... I mean, obviously, which you have in Japan, you have the yaoi fangirls.
Right.
I mean, is really mostly what it is.
Yes.
I don't have statistics to back this up, but I can't imagine the percentage of gay males going to check out these books is the largest percentage of this. In fact, it's probably rather minuscule.
Very small minority, actually, because for one thing, yaoi doesn't really appeal to gay men, actual gay men. It's definitely drawn for women, like the way it's done and the way
I know that because...
There was actually a very interesting roundtable discussion on Anime News Network about that, about how actually a lot of gay people are offended by yaoi, especially when, like, they go to cons and all the fangirls will get them to try to kiss or make out or something.
But that's what they do.
Yeah. But I think they felt that the depiction of relationships was really unrealistic. Almost kind of objectified or something. But it was...
You know, in Japan, they have a lot of women who are hidden for Joshi.
Yeah.
They just don't admit it normally.
I'm reminded of a certain episode of Kaneki, actually. What's her name? She's the childhood friend character. She's introduced to yaoi manga for the first time. And it's like, no, you can't read this. And then she immediately says, can I have more?
Oh, I just didn't know. I never knew for some people library could be such a good time.
Yep.
Hey, man, it's like almost like a free porn store, man. For women, at least.
No doubt. Like, what? There's numbers on the Japanese stalls and... Are the stalls in Japan for a good time call? The library.
That could be their new promotional campaign to get people to come.
To get people to read more books.
Yeah. Good time call.
Hey, well, at least the kids are reading.
Yep.
Let's hope that they're not staining it.
Right. Yeah. All right, guys. Why don't we go?
Let's move along. Yeah. I think we need to just move. Along.
Yeah.
Okay, kids. Uncle Ray's kind of drunk. So that's why Uncle Ray says all this stuff. And tomorrow, you won't be remembering a thing. I'm telling you.
That's right. And if you should ever check out this podcast recording on a disc from this library, well, we are not responsible. So
they may have to put this back in the special section.
That's right. Special. For all the Firefly fans out there. Let's go ahead and move on to the next section. Hollywood strikes again. In the continuing effort to make live-action adaptations of anime, which have been accelerating in recent years, a certain Mr. Keanu Neo, Bill and Ted Reeves.
Whoa, Reeves.
Has decided that he can bring his tremendous acting talents to the live-action version of Cowboy Bebop.
But you know what, though? BL fans will love it. Mike?
Wait, well, who does he do? Who does he BL with anyway? Like, Jet?
I don't know. Maybe.
No!
You got the bold guy. No, you got the bold guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, Jet, Conical likes it.
Oh, yes, that's right. At least she will. But apparently in 20th Century Fox is, in fact, and MTV Movies does want to bring a live-action Cowboy Bebop to the big screen. And Keanu Reeves says he wants to play the lead role of Spike. And not only that, actually, according to a different news source, which I can't dig up right now, I think it's largely been confirmed that he, in fact, is going to play the role. Yeah, I'm rather disappointed by that decision, really.
I know Kung Fu.
On first glance, and pretty much maintaining this, I pretty much think it's crap. Yep, it's crap.
Yep.
Is that as good as Yui Drag sort of crap?
That's a different level of crapitude.
Are you lucky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just like the fact that MTV Movies is involved in this because, you know, they, when you say MTV Movies, you say quality.
Yep. Yep.
So that's a good sign. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Keanu Reeves, you know, the guy most famous for Neo, second most famous for Bill or Ted. Wait, which one? From Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Woohoo! So I mean, maybe you can bring that acting flair to the movie.
I think he confuses the rather, you know, laconic, kind of laid-back Spike with his, you know, his one-expression face. and thinks that his inability to have any other emotion somehow serves him well for this show. Which seems to me that he doesn't really quite get it.
Right, because, and if you saw, which actually was a horrible adaptation of a very interesting online publication, but if you saw Johnny Mnemonic, you'll note that there's no difference between the characters in Johnny Mnemonic and Neo, really. They're basically the same character in the way he acts them. So, yeah, I haven't seen Scanner Darkly. Don't know anything about that, how he did. But, yeah, potential to be a total crap-vacular. But there is good news. There is good news. Have you guys heard this?
No.
No.
You haven't heard about the other casting, right?
No.
Apparently, Faye Valentine is to be played by Stephanie Giannis.
Oh, no.
No. Gospel truth, you know?
Yeah.
I read it on the internet. I read it on her blog. Stephanie Giannis' blog.
Playing the dog.
Yep.
Was playing the dog. I don't know who plays dog.
Oh wait, no. Oh, that's Stephanie Giannis. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh my bad. Sorry. My mistake. Gosh. Jeez. Whew. I need to read the fine print here. Thanks.
Oh my.
But seriously though, who are they? I mean, who are they gonna get to play Ed?
I know.
Seriously.
I mean, it's true that Cowboy Bebop, to a certain extent, is a little bit easier to adapt to live action than a lot of the other anime, but Ed is definitely a very much an anime character. Like,
that's not appearance in real life. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we could have some real life BL going on in the studio here, so you know, it's not difficult. Of course, I'm not involved. I wouldn't know. But,
Wait, so who exactly is involved here?
I think the answer is obvious, Jeremy.
Me out of it. But, no, seriously, gosh, I don't know. Now, the one thing I have to say, and you know, God bless Keanu Reeves. Seriously, God bless Keanu Reeves. He needs it. He seriously needs it. Mm. He likes anime. You know,
yep.
That's great. I'm happy with that. I don't know too many actors out there that really know anime from, you know, their ass. If there are any actors listening, you can write any complaints to Anime Diet at P.O. Box Bite Me. you know, that's a good thing. And the fact that he's, you know, friends with the creator. But you know, I don't know. He might surprise us. So you know, the fact that he is a fan of the show, at least you don't have some actor going there that doesn't know the show. Like I said, from their ass. I mean, at least we have that much going for us, but yeah, I don't know. I kind of don't like his... I mean, yeah, it is kind of a Western film noir in a sense, but, you know, how he... The quote he says that he likes the Cowboy Bebop's Western film noir aspect. That kind of old Western border town, low-tech science fiction.
Low-tech.
Yep, low-tech.
Yeah, that part, I'm like, oh... Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. They have cryogenics that is able to keep someone in a suspended animation state and keep them perpetually 21 years old. Yeah, that's extremely low tech.
There are dogs that carry data.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's extremely so low tech. Come on, man. That's nothing. Any dog can do that, right?
I think he didn't want to say cyberpunk because he didn't want to link it anywhere close to Johnny Mnemonic. I mean, he wants everybody to forget about that.
Right.
Like, sure, I'll be great. You never saw Johnny Mnemonic. I'll be awesome as Spike Spiegel. Just forget about that Johnny Mnemonic crap that never happened.
Yep. I don't know.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, like I said, I'm trying to be balanced here.
Fair and balanced.
You know, he is a fan of anime. That's the one good thing he has going for him, but at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll have to see, but it looks like that's what's going forward. Anyway, why don't we go ahead and move on to our roundtable?
With much regret in our heart.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Hollywood does it again. Always conclude our shows with a little bit of a discussion, a little bit of a roundtable, and this being the end of the year and this being pretty close to our second anniversary, we just want to talk about what we've watched this year, both the good and the bad, and maybe also where we're going to be headed as Anime Diet in 2009. I think we've had a terrific year overall. We've had our very first panel at a convention.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten all kinds of really cool interviews with people. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten press passes to pretty much everywhere we've gone to, including some of the biggest cons like Comic-Con, Anime Expo. And we are already a shoo-in to get in for AX next year as well. We've already been pre-approved.
Yes, thanks to you guys' hard working behind.
Any word on a panel this year so we can kind of maybe give a heads up to some of our listeners?
Well, I don't actually have any new information yet. They have not opened the registration for that. But we are definitely going to start planning for this earlier so we can bring a great show for all of you guys.
Want to get ahead.
Yes, we want to get ahead, and we want to get behind the times this time. Yeah.
Yes, nothing like getting Mike behind you. I mean, please. Yeah.
Oh, do we have some Greek in the audience? Do we have some Greek in the audience?
Yep.
Our squat.
Yep. And so, I think also 2008, the year in anime overall, has been, well, to be honest, a little bit lackluster compared to even last year.
Mm-mm.
And certainly compared to 2006, which was one of the best years ever. So, I found some good shows this season, fortunately. This fall season, which
Junjo
is...
Romanica?
Well,
so wait, I just want you to qualify that statement. Like 2006, obviously... Not saying I disagree with you, but top animes from 2006.
Well, let's see.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Haruhi Suzumiya, Welcome to the NHK, The Ending of Honey and Clover, The Beginning of Code Geass, The First Season of Zero Neskaima, Karin, you like that.
Oh, I like Karin.
And there's actually, where was the other one? There was actually a bunch of others. That's actually a lot. There was actually
I'm pushing it. Yeah, okay.
There was at least five or six really good shows. But Haruhi and Welcome to NHK come to mind immediately. Those were, to me, my favorite shows of that year. So, I think this has been, we're already approaching the end of the season as well. And I have to say that Toradora was really the surprise for me. I did not expect it to like it as much as I did, and now I love it. I've seen the end of this season of Toradora, and I've been very happy with it. What about you guys?
You're sure it's not because of Kogimi Rie?
Oh, it is. She does a wonderful job, actually. She does. She actually does a much better job than she often does in some of these kinds of shows. I mean, but everybody did. The acting is a lot better. The writing is certainly better.
And she didn't tell people to shut up as many times.
No, but she still does hit Ryuji quite a lot. But that's neither here nor there.
Shundera still gets her dog.
Yeah, she even calls him that.
Yeah, I think that's why I have problems with that show. I'm not big into dominant female characters.
Yeah.
I'm not into the domination like Mike is.
Now we know two secrets about somebody.
Well, I think that, you know, that's probably the surprise of the season, but of course later on Ray and I will be talking about Kozuka, like on the Vice Off later this week. And which was also a pretty good show, though I think Ray, you had some problems at the ending. But anyway, why don't we you two, what do you think about where we've been, where we're going to be going, and what you watched this year?
I wouldn't say this year isn't as bad as 2006. I mean, every season's got its ups and downs. I would have to tell you though, this season had more downs. Like, for example, I thought Gun Selena Girl was sort of a down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oof,
yeah.
Disappointment. Big disappointment.
Big disappointment.
I don't know. I did watch two episodes and was like, some people got to accept it, but I was like, it just wasn't hitting the spot, right? I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you really like Scooby-Doo spinoffs. That's kind of what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, well, there wasn't a scrappy doing well in Gunslinging a Girl, because I would have puked.
Yeah, at least they didn't go to that limit. But
well, there are other problems, like overtly servicing show like Kanokon and like this one called Kisses, basically. Yeah. Well, it's still in 2008, right? So that still kind of count.
Yeah, it does.
And these shows are shamelessly servicing. I mean, I like Kanokon in a way, but, you know, like, sometimes you're just sitting there going, should I just take out that porn DVD that's hidden in my or somewhere instead?
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell was the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, there are some, there are some busts like, I don't know, I didn't watch the Tower of Druga, but that didn't sound like so great.
Well, it's getting a second season, so somebody must like it.
I don't know. Blast Rider, that was a bust. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
It has historical significance for being one of the two shows being streamed simultaneously on the same day.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Anything you really did like this season?
Well, do you want to go to DMC? Because I do.
Go to DMC.
Go to DMC. That was wild. The crowd sounds like 48 cup killing moves, the guitar roll, Kuro day. Yes. That was what made me a believer, dude.
Yeah, that was very unique, very funny, very. It's almost certainly going to win my best comedy award this year.
They had some good stuff. As much as I like to joke, I struggle with some of the crassness of it because they do go like really over limit. But actually, really, the situational comedy is just really funny in that show. I think my favorite episode, which I haven't seen, I still have a couple of episodes to go, but is when he goes to visit his brother, who turns out to be a DMC fan. That episode is awesome, and how he tries to teach him that working on the farm is something that Krauser would do to like. Build up his abilities. It's awesome. Like cutting the grass prepares him for slicing throats.
Feeding the cow. Domination of all creatures.
Lest we spoil any of the gags for anybody. Too many of the gags for anybody who hasn't seen it. That is one of the best episodes that I've seen.
That was fantastic. I really liked. I mean, I always look forward to like downloading a new episode, and I'd watch it almost immediately because it was so short. And actually, I don't know if you guys heard the news. There is, in fact, a strong possibility they are going to be making more.
Yes.
Yes.
Go to DMC. Go to DMC.
Yeah, I think it would. If they keep up the quality of the writing and it doesn't become crap like certain other American shows that started off really strong. Aqua Teen Hunger Force. But that's I'm going to get lots of hate mail about that, but love the first season of that, but yeah. You know, a lot of this stuff just kind of tanked, in my opinion. But if they keep it the good writing, it would be really good.
It would. And all they'd have to do is just adapt the manga, right, Ray? Because the manga is still going strong.
Oh, okay. See, there you go then.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, it hits a sophomore slump on episode 6, but, you know, I'm sure you'll pick up. Actually, it's pretty interesting anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, it's a great concept. I mean,
it is. It's funny as hell. Good thing they can't adapt it to American movie because that will suck hell.
They're trying. They're trying. They're thinking about it, but they can't do it. It won't work. It won't work. Yeah. But yeah, that definitely is one of the funniest shows I've seen this year. I would say that, you know, in terms of like more serious or dramatic shows, my favorite show certainly was Kaiba, which was a triumph of both art and heart. I was moved by it tremendously, as well as I thought it was very thought-provoking. So I would probably give that the thought-provoking award for the year.
Ray, did you watch that?
it was not my style.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Wasn't pleasing.
I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I certainly understand why people like it as an artistic endeavor, but I guess I'm just not as... Forgive the term, Mike, as artsy fartsy as you. I don't quite reach your caliber of so
fartsy.
But hey, I can certainly appreciate why you really like that show. It's very very Michael Hall.
Yes, it is.
He's got the smell.
What smell?
Fartsy.
What do you mean? And actually, I know a lot of animators that like that show. From an animation standpoint, they give it pretty high marks.
Interesting. So. Yeah. I'm still finishing up EF, A Tale of Melodies, so I have yet to determine whether I think it's a good show or not. Though I'm
still not done with that?
No, I haven't. I skipped it in favor of finishing Toradora, which I thought was worthwhile, actually. Because I that was very heartwarming, the end of episode 13. So, and I don't usually say that about most, you know, anime romantic comedies. It's very... most of the time the writing doesn't even come to that level at all. So,
what do you guys think about Chaos Gift's Head? You both watched that too, right?
Yeah, I did, but I'm not done yet. So.
Oh,
yeah, I'm not quite done.
Jeremy, what about you?
Yeah, I'm not quite finished. I think I'm just like one episode behind. It's 12 episodes, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm in episode 11.
Oh wow.
So, yeah, I'm
caught up.
Yeah, I'm pretty well caught up. I just have to watch that last episode.
You're not a slacker anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been brushing up. I've been trying to reach you guys' caliber. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But you know. Yeah, I think it was pretty good. I wasn't sure about a couple of the turns it took. There was a couple of things I thought were a little cheesy, but to kind of. Yeah. I mean, it started off in a certain way to give you an idea that it was going to be. Much more serious psychological thriller, and then it just totally went in a couple other directions, mixing a lot of genres. I think you know, the hero girl, you know, magical girl genre, even kind of mixed in there a little bit, obviously is just kind of an homage. A lot of it seems in a way like do an okay job of kind of even poking fun at itself in the whole anime culture a little bit. So it kind of gives the idea that it's not to be taken too seriously, but there's some very pseudo-serious elements in it. It's just kind of a fun, in my opinion, it's just kind of a fun, interesting anime. It's kind of quirky, you know? So that's kind of my take on that thus far, but my thought might totally change with the ending. They might really F it up.
So. I just think he's sort of something more like a pat on Otaku's back. I mean, or one of the Hikikomori's back. You know, like, yes, a person who doesn't really care much can actually save the world,
right?
Yeah,
plot, of course.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, sure. It's kind of funny because that is definitely kind of then along the same lines of Nogizaka Haruka, which was one of the more interesting. Romances of this year.
How the hell did you make that turn?
That was funny.
Nogizaka Haruka is also... Oh, I just wrote about it yesterday. That's why. Because that's also a really full-throated defense of fandom. Like, they're very direct about it.
Did you say full throat?
I said full
don't
throat.
Don't you mean deep throat?
I didn't say deep throat. I was about to say.
Hey, that's a water
that
game.
That was awesome. Code. That is the most. I'm going to have to. I'm going to put that in my quote book. It's a full throated defense.
Okay, I can figure out
this. Oh, boy.
I'm sure
there's a lot of people out there that Mike that would appreciate a full throat defense from you, but that's
No, like I said, I don't want to know what you guys do on your private time. I've said it this the fourth time already.
It's actually a sentence I wrote in the entry too. So, oh no,
that's great.
At least you didn't say full blow.
Damn.
That just would have been a little too obvious. See, I like subtlety.
Moving on from Chaos Head,
yeah,
appropriately enough. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have any more episodes you wanted to talk about?
Or give me other shows? I think not really. Actually, no. I do have one thing. I would say for me the discovery of the year, even though this didn't actually technically come out in 2008, was the film series Kara no Kyokai. I think they're just fantastically well done. They're very well animated. I think the music is Yuki Kajiro's best soundtracks. And I think they really fulfilled a promise that was really there in shows like Tsukihime and Fate's Day Night, but was never, I think, entirely, you know, gotten there. Like, because this is done by the people who founded Tight Moon, the people who were responsible for Fate's Day Night and Tsukihime. And it seems that, you know, finally they found an animation studio and they found a soundtrack composer who could really do justice to kind of their style, their gothic, you know, high melodrama style. And it really works. I found them fantastic. I still need to actually finish the fourth episode, which just came out recently in English. I don't know if any of you guys have watched that or not. Have you?
I have, like, one of the movies downloaded, but I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Did I say it online? Did I say downloaded? Oh, wait. Yeah. What? That's the only way you can get it, so.
Yeah.
Only yes. In the US right now, you cannot buy it.
Nope. Not licensed.
You know what? I'm really surprised at, and I don't want to, like, follow a rabbit trail, but that the nobody in the US has picked up, to my knowledge, and released, because you can still get it on Anime Suki, Monster.
Yeah.
I've started watching that. It was one of those shows I don't know why. I never watch it, but that is an absolutely fabulous show.
It is.
I mean, it really is, the writing and the story thus far. I mean, I haven't finished it, but I'm amazed. I mean, animation wise, it's kind of old school. It's just, you know, it's fine.
From 04.
Nothing to write home about, you know. Yeah. But just the storyline is incredible. So I don't know. Just. Blast you back to the 2004.
Yeah.
Ray, you know what sells in U.S. though? Mecha, Explosion, and Sex.
That's right.
And does it have any of that? No? No, it doesn't.
There was a long time project, which I think is on permanent hold, to make at least part of Monster into a live action Hollywood film as well.
Yeah.
They actually got the guy who wrote, what was it called? The End of Violence, I think it was called.
I don't know that one.
It was kind of an indie movie starring Viggo Mortensen, aka Aragorn. Viggo Mortensen, and he was in The End of Violence. And the same screenwriter was going to write an adaptation of Monster, but that has been put permanently.
I don't know how you'd pull it off. That's a very, very serialized.
Yeah.
It has very much throwbacks to the old TV show, and they made a movie based on it, The Fugitive. So,
right.
Really obscure reference for some people, but look it up. It was a movie with Harrison Ford. Yeah.
It's Monster is really definitely. I mean, I highly recommend it myself. I actually watched that in 2006, back in the summer, and I basically stayed up nights, like sometimes an entire evening, to watch a huge batch of episodes because there's like 70 episodes. It's one of the very few series, I think it may be the only one, where I've actually watched like all 70 episodes. I think Marmalade Boy was the other one.
Dude, you had me until Marmalade Boy. You lost us at Marmalade Boy.
It was Ray's copy.
Meanwhile, back in 2008, I'm sorry I took us on that rabbit trail. Well, let me hit up a few things real quick since you guys have done a lot of talking. let me hit up a few things. Kerr and I didn't like the ending so much. It was like, it's an ending, but you know, good show. I think it's one of the things I think many of us hit on. Right? Were you a fan of that show?
I watched a couple episodes. For some reason, I never watched the rest of it. I don't know why.
Okay.
I saw all of it.
It was one of those things that Mike and I both hit on, which is not always – it's not rare, but it doesn't happen all the time.
The bar?
And, but there was, you know, one of the episodes that we both agreed was a really, really well-done show. Very good writing and story, and just quirky and interesting. Had a little bit of everything for different people. Had some action and some drama and comedy. So
yeah,
did that guy still end up with two blades in his forearm, and he became a superhero somehow?
I don't think he became a superhero, but he does use it. He does use it. Yeah, it's a nice intimidation tool.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
What's strange enough is that really was kind of only a small part of the story.
It really was.
Because when it starts out, you kind of think that will be a big part of it.
Yeah.
A couple other shows that I did, like we kind of touched on Chaos Head and Troy Metal City. Right. I still have to see more, but I'm really getting into the show One Ounce. I think this will be a good show for this year, which it's kind of an interesting anime that you might not be drawn to. I don't think has a mass appeal, and the fact that it is a baseball-based anime, but it's not just about baseball. It's a very psychological anime, and I kind of mentioned this before. It's outsmarting your opponent through various mental strategies. I mean, it's actually quite interesting, a lot more than I think people would initially think it was for, because the initial opening looks very, very, it looks very Bishonen, and it has this really crappy English American sounding song, and you're just kind of like, okay. But good show. The other show that I really, well, actually there's a couple, the last two I'll mention is Soul Eater.
God, yes.
I think that was probably one of the most solid shows of the season because, I mean, it has so many. I mean, it's definitely the shoe-in for the action show. Well, I don't know. That could be debated. But the mainstream action show. It's definitely the shoe-in for the mainstream action show. The broad audience. It has a lot of good comedy in it mixed in. Interesting aspects. They don't take it, once again, they don't take themselves too seriously. They kind of poke fun at the whole anime culture and like at other animes and give full disclosure to the fact that we're parodying this, so just deal with it.
Darkstar, it kicks ass.
I know,
especially he's so stealthy.
Yes, he is.
Blackstar?
He's the ultimate assassin.
Did they translate it Darkstar in Mandarin?
It's Blackstar. No, Blackstar. Sorry.
Okay.
It actually says it in English. Blackstar.
It's so fucking stealthy.
Blackstar. Yes.
I like the show so much that we did a cosplay group from our anime club. So
you guys even did a little skit.
Yeah, we did a couple. We did I was Soul, and friend one of our members was Blackstar, so we did the whole Solu Blackstar. You know where they're running to embrace each other. It was probably the most gay moment in my life.
You mean you wore one of the Thompson sisters? Oh, Mike was disappointed.
Other shows that I like that I'll just mention in brief. I did say two, but it's two things. Spice and Wolf. I know that
which I did
not watch. Exactly a huge fan base, but I did enjoy that show. I thought it was fun. I love the ending song. Just really, I love the characters in that show.
Do they give you a coupon for sausage pizza after you finish the show?
I just thought. Wolf flavor. You know, I just thought, gosh, and I'm losing the wolf character's name here. What was the
Horo?
The wolf goddess?
Horo.
Yeah. She I just thought she had a nice tail. That's all. That's basically all.
Wanna jump on it?
And Zammed.
Ah, Zammed.
Oh, Zammed.
Which I missed largely.
You're right.
We watched two episodes of that in SU Flame.
I know.
I thought Zam is a very, very attractively animated, well animated, high quality animation show with a fairly good story, interesting characters. It's still going, I think, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yep.
So, you know, no word on how it finishes, but yeah.
Right.
A few others. Uh-huh. Some other honorable mentions would be Persona, Amatsuki, although it was too short. I know a lot of people, these are just ones that I watched that I actually, you know, was able to watch and enjoyed, and Nobari no.
Uh-huh. So. Okay. Right. Okay, then. I think, yeah, basically, you know, a lot of those are pretty decent shows. Like Kuranai, for instance, I did have a lot of problems with the ending. But I thought Kuranai was actually one of the better shows of that season. But for me, it was competing with Kaiba that season. So it was. But Kuranai was certainly, I would consider, the second best show of that particular season. I had some wonderful moments, absolutely wonderful moments. I was one of the defenders of the show originally.
Right.
I wrote a couple of articles about it. And
yeah, I think you were kind of the reason why I ended up watching it, actually.
Right, and it has many good elements, good character writing. I felt that the mixing of genres didn't quite as work as I think it wanted to, but anyway, I respect it a lot because it had a lot of ambition, and I respect ambition, at least when it's usually done moderately well. Sometimes it just doesn't work at all. But,
yeah, truly, totally.
And so, yeah, well, basically, for 2009, you know, what do you guys want to see for Anime Diet? What do you guys hope will happen?
Oh, gosh. Put us on the spot. Ray, you have any thoughts? Love how I throw it back to Ray.
Yes, I know. Can I earn some money?
Yeah, actually, that would probably be a...
Yay! Go right for the jugular. So yes, you can send all payable checks to Anime Diet.
Yes.
At Anime Diet, please send us money now.
We could certainly use help to pay for our bandwidth.
Also, the number of listeners dropped to 10.
It is currently a labor of love.
Right.
Until we make it big.
Exactly.
Then screw you guys.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Exactly. It is all about. About that, but
no, it is really the love of the anime, love of the our listeners and the people that have attended our lives at like AX, nothing but love for you guys. Seriously. It's
absolutely
you guys are why we do it.
Yep.
Ray, what's your take on it?
What's my take on it? Well, I just want to make people laugh, son.
I thought you were gonna say it's all about the money, but.
That's all about the laughter.
Money. It's all about the money.
yeah, it's all about the Benjamins, man.
It's all Benjamins, baby. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
To me, it's about getting sales signature for free, man.
That's right.
Well, yeah, that is the one perk.
Yes.
Is having some special access. And right. For that, we do thank our readers and listeners who support us and do give us that one perk.
Yeah. Please keep visiting us so we keep qualifying for press passes. So that Ray can have his autographs.
Yes.
Before he reverts to a sex crave otaku prowling the streets at night.
I think we probably better close up unless everybody else has anything. Yeah. Well,
I would just say that I'm really surprised that Ray didn't mention Kamen no Maid Guy, but
oh god, that was one of the funniest show of the season. I'm just gonna say it, and I'm gonna say if you're not watching it, you're just missing out. Unless you're a girl. Oh well.
Way to go!
On that note.
Yeah. On that note. This has been Anime Diet Radio, episode number 29, the last episode of 2008. I'm your host, Michael Huang, reporting in from Washington.
And this is Raymond Hugh, and Taipei is still wet, cold, and full of cults.
This is Jeremy from, believe it or not, a town that you've never heard of called Linville, Tennessee. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year.